Hello, it's August 10th, 2022. My name is Simone, and this is 90s Crime Time. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of 90s Crime Time. And if you're new to 90s Crime Time, welcome to the show. Like always, I hope you all have had a wonderful weekend and are having a great start to your week. And before we start today's episode, I'd like to go ahead and preface that today's episode contains some subjects of assault and sexual assault and rape. And I'd like to go ahead and warn you and give you a listener discretion is advised. And with that, let's dive in to today's case. The year was 1999. And in the city of Las Vegas, Nevada, there was obviously lots to do. From the many nightclubs, amazing shows, historic museums, and more, everyone pretty much knows why lots of folks flocked here to have a once-in-a-lifetime adventure. On the outskirts of Vegas's famed strip, however, there's another side that many tourists don't see, and that involves many of your average everyday Americans that barely go to where tourists go. Many natives in Vegas like to hike, mingle at their own late-night haunts that aren't as popular, go to sporting events, and more. However, locals and tourists alike know Vegas lives up to its nickname, Sin City, for more reasons than one. In 1999, an event so heinous occurred here that most natives and tourists had never seen. And many would be shocked to their core. In the following case, you'll find out the event that happened, the investigation, and the aftermath in a case I title Vegas Venom. Back on September 20th, 1975, in Estes Park, Colorado, a young woman named Valerie Floyd gave birth to a baby boy she named Zane. Unfortunately, Zane's biological father abandoned Valerie before Zane was born. And even though the baby's biological father wasn't around, Valerie's problems went back further than that. According to reports, Valerie was a self-described, quote-unquote, hippie. And before Zane was born, she actually gave birth to another son who sadly passed away from sudden infant death syndrome. To ease the pain of losing her previous baby, Valerie apparently drowned her sorrows by using marijuana and cocaine and drinking alcohol, even while pregnant with Zane. As a result, after he was born, Zane was 6 weeks premature, weighing less than 5 pounds, and with undeveloped lungs. Carrying on with reports, they also stated that possibly due to her substance abuse, after Zane was born, he showed signs of developmental problems. Unlike some babies, Zane was delayed in walking and talking. And by the time he reached school age, he had learning disabilities and failed the second grade. His teachers were concerned about his development and talked to his mother about possibly enrolling Zane in special education. But by this point, Valerie was married and Zane's stepfather, Mike, protested the decision. and told Valerie they should keep him in traditional classes. Mike allegedly even told teachers he'd toughen Zane up because he felt that was why he wasn't doing well academically. According to reports, Valerie married Mike when Zane was 3 years old. At that time, Mike was serving in the military, which meant the family moved around quite a bit. Allegedly, during the early days of the marriage, Valerie and Mike drank heavily together. And sometimes, Mike's drinking would get so bad, he would allegedly abuse Valerie and the very young Zane, and even got arrested at one point. Mike's stint in the military eventually ended, and the family settled in Las Vegas. But he continued to apparently be abusive sometimes, and as Zane grew older, Mike apparently raised him like he was a soldier. However, Zane's parents did take into consideration to have a psychologist examine him. And later on, a psychiatrist diagnosed Zane with ADHD and prescribed him Ritalin. As the years went by, Zane continued to see psychiatrists, and by the time he got into middle school, doctors replaced his Ritalin with antidepressants. His doctors and teachers noticed some other things about Zane that were not like many other children, like having a habit of lying and fighting other children. Things only progressed and got worse because as Zane got closer to his teen years, since his parents drank heavily, Zane too got access to alcohol. Zane would allegedly kick back a few drinks with a good friend at his home. And since he was now living in Vegas, at that time the city was a big hotbed for drugs, in which Zane eventually dabbled in. By the time he was 16, Zane was indeed dabbling with marijuana, and then progressed to methamphetamines. But despite his struggles, to the ones who knew him in high school, some didn't have bad things to say about Zane, because to some, Zane was just nondescript. He wasn't necessarily an outcast, he was just there. He had friends though, they just weren't a part of the popular crowd. And to his friends, they thought Zane was overall nice, but sometimes they witnessed him acting out, and he sometimes had a violent streak. However, to some of his adult neighbors, Zane was mannerable and always treated them with kindness. But at school, Zane still had troubles with his academics, and once the school's administration found out about his drug use, and after he fought another student on the school bus, Zane was expelled. Although that was heartbreaking to Zane, he lucked up, because he was accepted into a Lutheran high school where he managed to improve his grades and joined the baseball team. As a matter of fact, Zane did so well on the team that his coach thought he was great for the team, and that Zane was the reason the team achieved success. His high school friends liked him a lot as well, because they liked the way Zane expressed himself. Some said he expressed himself so well that he could be a writer. Unfortunately, though, according to reports, Zane fell back into his old habits and began to drink and use drugs again. By this time, Zane was 18 and left the Lutheran school to go back to his previous public high school. However, even though he was let back in, Zane dropped out without gaining his high school diploma. He knew that without a diploma, his options for a very stable job would possibly be small, but he had an idea. Even though Mike abused him and his mother at times, Zane respected him in a way, and Mike's career in the military influenced Zane to join himself. Zane also knew he wanted more out of life and wanted to join for himself Mike was fine with Zane joining the military, but he wanted him to be a part of the Navy or Air Force so he could be taught more about practical skills for civilian life. But Zane had other ideas. So when he was 18, Zane joined the Marine Corps. While there, he made his way through boot camp and trained as a machine gunner, and then he was deployed to Guantanamo Bay. As many know, Guantanamo was not an active war zone, but soldiers there dealt with their fair share of battles. Zane, for one, according to reports, witnessed Cuban and Haitian asylum seekers killed by enemy soldiers or blown up in the Cuban minefield outside of the base. It was so intense that Zane told his family about his fears of being shot and how he felt powerless to help the refugees. Due to this, while stationed at Guantanamo, Zane had access to cheaper liquor. Therefore, he drank quite a bit to numb his pain. According to reports, Zane often drank with others in the barracks, and one time he was reported for drinking on duty. Nevertheless, Zane did well at Guantanamo and was awarded multiple awards and medals. After he left Guantanamo in 1996, he wasn't quite finished with his Marine career yet. That year, Zane began working at Camp Pendleton in Southern California, where he was considered one of the best instructors in his unit. But like a revolving door, Zane continued to struggle with his alcohol consumption. He tried other ways to numb his pain, including one time to try and meet his biological father in 1997, to maybe brighten his spirits. However, according to reports, when he tried to meet his biological father, the meeting didn't work out, leaving Zane feeling rejected, which led to more alcohol abuse. Over time, Zane's drinking got even worse, and he was eventually arrested while driving under the influence, the second time he was reported for alcohol use in the military. Due to this, by the time he decided to leave his duty in 1998, he left with an honorable discharge, but he was told not to re-enlist. Zane moved back to Las Vegas after his military stint and into his parents' guest home. When he got back, however, his loved ones noticed a change in him. For one, they noticed Zane was more introverted and would spend hours talking obsessively about weapons. Outside of this, Zane also struggled to find work because he had little skill outside of military life. So he enrolled at Community College of Southern Nevada, taking two classes during the fall 1998 semester. But he withdrew from one of the classes before the end of the semester, and it's unclear exactly what courses he was enrolled in. Zane eventually got a job as a security guard and got his own apartment. But shortly thereafter, he let his good friend move in with him, and they binged a lot on meth together. As a matter of fact, Zane was known to stay up for days while high on the drug. Meanwhile, though, he did date, and sometime after he got back from Camp Pendleton, he began dating a woman named Paulina. Life wasn't great, but Zane was in a relationship and had stable income. But again, just as soon as things were doing okay for him, Zane's life spiraled quickly. According to reports, by January 1999, Zane continued to talk about his love for guns and other weapons, and that month, he purchased a shotgun and handgun from a local firearm store. By May 1999, for reasons unclear, Zane lost his job as a security guard and got a part-time job as a bouncer at a bar. By the end of that month, Zane was kicked out of his apartment, forcing him back into the guest house on his parents' property. Spiraling even more, by June 2nd, Zane was in another world. He was angry with how his life was going. Broke and back at his parents' property, he had just enough for drugs and alcohol. That night, he went with Paulina to pick up his last paycheck from his previous job, and then to a strip club to celebrate his friend's bachelorette party. But after he picked up his check, Zane was pissed when he thought his final paycheck from his security guard job was short. Due to this, according to reports, Zane drank 8 double shots of Jack Daniels and several beers. And then he, Paulina, and her friends bar hopped. But eventually, Zane left Paulina to gamble. She later found him, they fought, and she left, leaving Zane to gamble with the little paycheck he had left. By the next morning, on June 3rd, around 3 a.m., Zane was feeling very depressed. Instead of calling Paulina, he called an escort service to send a woman to his home and told them he had $750 to spend on her, even though he only had $7 to his name. A 20-year-old woman named Tracy was sent to Zane, and when she arrived to his place around 3:30 a.m., according to reports, Zane grabbed and shoved her through the door. He then apparently held her at gunpoint and forced her to undress and enter his bedroom. Over the next hour and a half, Zane forced Tracy to perform certain sex acts on him, with some acts that some may seem as degrading. He told Tracy that he wanted to kill and that it was why he entered the military, and that he had 19 rounds with which he planned to kill the first 19 people he saw. He told Tracy she had 60 seconds to flee or be killed. But before she was let go, bizarrely, Zane had her tie a bathrobe around him, and underneath the robe, Zane was dressed in military wear and a shotgun. Around 5 a.m., Tracy escaped her ordeal with Zane and fled. But Zane's early morning was just getting started. Meanwhile, a few streets away, 25-year-old Christine Goldsworthy was working in her office on the second floor of the Albertsons grocery store, when suddenly she heard a loud bang that sounded like it was coming from inside the store. Christine peered out through the window and saw someone standing in aisle 7 shooting at people. She ran to her manager's office and dialed 911. As she did, the shoppers and other workers realized what was going on and tried to scramble to safety. Some hid in food coolers and various dark rooms of the store, but the shooter shot at anyone in his way. Shortly after Christine's call, police arrived around 5:20 a.m. The shooter walked out of the store once he realized he was surrounded and threatened to kill himself by putting the shotgun at his chest and head. The police talked him down to kick his gun away and detain him in handcuffs. And he did. But the shooter, later identified as Zane Floyd, was hysterical. According to reports, Zane yelled, quote, "Why did I kill those people? Why did I kill those people? I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why. I just started shooting. And I just kept shooting." End quote. When detectives got closer to the scene and started to investigate, they saw what Zane had done. He shot and killed 40-year-old Thomas Darnell in the back, just as he was bringing in shopping carts. He also shot and killed 40-year-old frozen food manager Carlos Leos, who had just celebrated his first wedding anniversary, and 31-year-old store supervisor Dennis Sargent, a father to a 7-year-old son. Lastly, police came across the body of 60-year-old employee Lucille Tarantino, who had just celebrated her birthday. And according to witnesses, she pleaded for her life before Zane killed her. Zane also seriously wounded a 23-year-old employee named Zachary. When Zane saw Zachary, he chased him down and shot him. Zachary played dead, but Zane thought he killed him because he apparently walked up to Zachary and said, quote, "Yeah, you're dead," end quote. After his arrest, Zane told police he always wanted to know what it felt like to kill. 3 hours later, a little after 8 a.m., police tested Zane's blood, and his blood alcohol level was 0.09, meaning it was likely around 0.14, above the then legal limit of 0.10, at the time of the shooting. The test, curiously though, didn't pick up any traces of drugs, even though Zane told police he had taken meth before the massacre. After Zane was taken into custody, police found out about his earlier encounter with Tracy and wanted her to provide testimony for prosecution. However, after being brutally assaulted by Zane that night, she felt embarrassed and didn't get treated at the hospital until several days later. After she was treated, police worried she'd be a flight risk and held her at Clark County Detention Center to ensure she would be available to provide testimony. By March 2000, Tracy was allowed to videotape a confession about her encounter with Zane on the morning of the rampage, and then she was let out of jail. Zane's trial started on July 10, 2000, and in their opening statements, according to reports, the DA said, quote, "The bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is that Zane Floyd purposely, intentionally, premeditatedly, deliberately perpetrated the worst massacre in the history of Las Vegas," end quote. The prosecution also presented to the jury that they find Zane guilty and give him the ultimate punishment, the death penalty. However, according to reports, the defense, quote, "called a group of psychologists, social workers, friends and family members that spoke to the court about Zane's lifelong behavioral issues, the abuse he faced as a child, his military service, his struggles with alcohol and drug use, and the mental anguish he experienced in the days prior to his crimes." At the end of his trial, Zane offered an unsworn statement which was not made under oath and was not subject to cross-examination. He told the court, quote, "I can't take back what I've done. It's inexcusable. I can't tell you why I did it. I'm so sorry that you'll never even know, and I'm going to regret this the rest of my life," end quote. Despite his apology, however, on July 13, 2000, after deliberating for little more than 2 hours, the jury found Zane guilty on an array of charges, including 4 counts of first-degree murder, sexual assault, attempted murder, and others. And then shortly after, Zane Floyd was sentenced to death by lethal injection for each count of murder. Almost immediately after his death sentence, Zane appealed his punishment. Years later, in April 2021, Zane questioned Nevada's use of lethal injection because he said that the punishment was cruel and he preferred to be put to death by firing squad. In July 2021, Zane was scheduled to be put to death by lethal injection, but a federal judge stayed the execution and ruled that the state needed more time to determine the constitutionality of the lethal injection drugs that would be used for Zane's execution. Also during this time, many advocates and media outlets voiced their support of not putting Zane to death. This was because of his abuse growing up and the fact that he was later diagnosed with fetal alcohol syndrome, suggesting he was mentally incapable to receive such a sentence. As of 2022, Zane Floyd remains on death row, with many fighting for him to serve a life sentence, and with some waiting on his execution. The story of the Albertsons massacre comes from the sources of the Las Vegas Sun, the Los Angeles Times, the Nevada Independent, and others I'll put in the notes. All right, I'm not going to do a long opinion piece on this episode because I want to know mostly what you all think in the comments on social media. I'm not a psychologist, but I do wonder if any of his earlier developmental delays had anything to do with the rampage. I know he had drug issues. Zane had drug issues and alcohol issues. So maybe he was just an angry man who wanted to take his anger out on the world or on the people around him. But I have read that sometimes if you are born with certain mental developmental delays, that sometimes it can lead to anger or whatnot. Like I said, I'm not a psychologist. If I'm wrong, I do apologize. But I do believe I've read somewhere that some people can snap if they have some mental issues or mental delays. And he may not have known what he was doing, according to some people I've some articles I've read about Zane, because a lot of people don't want him put to death because he was born with some mental issues that were caused by his mother's drug and alcohol use while she was pregnant with him. I don't excuse his behavior by any means, neither do some of the publications and some of the doctors that have been interviewed about Zane's actions, because they do believe he should answer for what he has done, but they don't know if he should necessarily be put to death. I'm not going to say whether or not I'm for the death penalty, but I will say he does need to be in prison, in my opinion, for a long time, maybe even life, because he did take 4 lives and almost took a few others, including Tracy's and the other employee at Albertsons. Like I said, I don't want to say if I'm for or against the death penalty. Sorry for being tongue-tied, but I do believe Zane needs to answer for his crimes, no matter what, including possibly life without parole or decades in prison. I don't think he ever should get out, because who's to say what will happen if he ever did get out? He doesn't need to. He needs to serve his time, probably for the rest of his life. And like I said, I don't want to hold anyone long with an opinion piece for this time. So I would love to know what you think of this episode. And that's it. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of 90s Crime Time. And I hope you were intrigued. If you liked what you heard on today's show, please reach out, like I mentioned earlier, and tell me what you think on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, wherever 90s Crime Time has social media, which I just mentioned is Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. And if you haven't done so yet, please rate 90s Crime Time on any platform that has a rating system, primarily Apple or Spotify. I would love to know what you all think regarding the rating system. Some people still don't really care for the show, and that's fine. No one's forcing you to like 90s Crime Time, but if you do like what you heard on the show and do like 90s Crime Time and have not rated yet, I would love to know what you think, in the rating system. So please leave a 4 or 5-star review. I would love it. And with that, stay safe and healthy. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you soon for a brand new episode of 90s Crime Time.